Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm AJ Zarian, and the original, the cutie, the original hoaxer, Rich Dambolian.
I preceded the other hoaxer by several years.
Several years.
I am older than I look, brother.
Vern Gagne came up with your gimmick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brother. Let's talk about Hogan on Monday Night Raw.
Oh man, he looked like melted candle wax.
He looked like he was ready to assert himself in a match. I got a question for you about that. Did you watch the reunion?
I did, yeah.
It was fun, right?
Yeah, it was fun. It was exactly what I thought it would be. Uh-huh. I didn't think it would continue on storylines or anything like that. I thought it was just going to be just a hodgepodge of random cameos.
How many more times, and not that I'm complaining, but it's just sometimes it's a little too much. How many more times do we need to bring out Hogan and Flair just to blow smoke up their ass?
Yeah.
You know, and we're presenting this person, and we're presenting this person.
Yeah,
but then Austin comes out and, tears the effing house down.
Yeah. So, we'll talk about that. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. There's so much to talk about, obviously, this week. By the way, I am rocking my Chew World Order shirt. This was sent to me by the fine folks at Blue Chew, our friend Glenn, that has revolutionized pro wrestling podcasts and the pro wrestling industry with introducing Blue Chew to professional wrestling. Join the Chew World Order. It's very easy. Here's a great thing. You don't need to get Blue Chew because you need help. Sometimes you just want that extra oomph, and that's what Blue Chew's for. It gives you that little extra oomph, and it turns you from a normal man into a superhero in bed. By yourself, too. You can enjoy it by yourself. You don't have, if you don't have anyone, still get it. You know, sometimes you want to experience that. Go to BlueChew.com to get your first shipment absolutely for free. When you use the special promo code MATMEN, you just pay $5 for the shipping. Shows up. This has changed professional wrestling. You know, maybe if Jey Uso... maybe if Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso had Blue Chew, they would have been okay. They wouldn't have these problems that are arising. Maybe they would have been hanging out in the hotel room instead of driving 100 miles an hour. Speeding away from the cops.
Well, maybe they took a Blue Chew and had to get home as quick as possible.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment absolutely for free when you use the special promo code MATMEN. Just pay $5 for the shipping. So, let's do this. You want to go down the show? You want to run down what's going on?
Yeah, all right. So, Monday had, a ratings grab, a Raw reunion, and it was fun. A lot of people online were complaining about how, they don't want to see the Legends anymore, but they also complained about how they don't want to see Raw anymore. So it's also kind of this makes it worse. I thought it was great. I thought all the cameos were great. However, one of my favorite bits was that Burger King commercial with Alexa Bliss, and the last cut is Ron Simmons in a full-blown minstrel outfit holding a lute and saying, damn, that did it for me. And I do seeing the Legends. I like the Bray Wyatt McFoley bit. That was awesome.
That was done really well. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
That he used a mandible claw on him.
Great.
The dude is, I really like the gimmick. I just don't know how that mask is going to look when the lights are on and when he's having a mask.
Yeah, I think he's going to take it off. I do also think he might wrestle as the sweater character.
By the way, I just got the best message from a coworker of mine. She goes, dick pill and hair plugs, you're a regular renaissance man.
There you go.
As far as what I promote in life. this is my life now.
But let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Is her reggae 130 over zero?
Her reggae is 130 over zero. So let's talk about, let's go down this list. I got so much I got to talk about here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a lot of the elements. I also thought, they are out of legends to pull out there. When you're pulling Sergeant Slaughter out, I thought the Patterson Briscoe stuff was brilliant.
That was
the best thing on the show. The 24/7 title swaps that were happening, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
You fucking jerked it.
By the way, we are not drunk yet.
No.
Not at all. So, I'm being called a turd now.
It's just a nice day outside.
It's a beautiful day outside. So, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But there were a lot of other elements to the show that was, not great.
Did you like the John Cena foreshadowing?
Dude, that was wild, huh?
Yeah.
He cut this, so people who have not watched it, I don't know who hasn't. he caught this promo on the Usos about how they get DUIs, and it was like this big joke, and 2 days later, one of them got a DUI. And that story, we'll talk about that, that's an insane story, and WWE's response to...
He's responsible for his own actions
is worse than we wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Yeah.
Totally, it's ridiculous.
Mm.
So, what didn't you like about the show?
I enjoyed it. I thought the Medusa bit was a little bit awkward. The Kelly Kelly beating Briscoe thing was great. She looks awesome, by the
Kelly
way.
Kelly Kelly looks unbelievable. Why are they not using her?
Yeah, right? So does... so does Tori Wilson. Like, Tori Wilson always looks ridiculous.
Tori's...
These are also two women who are not... I'm not going to mention names because you have eyes. You could figure it out. These are two women who have not destroyed their faces with, like, plastic surgery, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to, like, a few of the ladies that were on screen where it's like you couldn't even tell who they were, you know? The Roman and Joe stuff I thought was effing fantastic.
So they're going to have a Samoan summit on Raw.
Yeah.
What does that even entail? What do you picture when you think of Samoan summit?
I want hakas left and right.
That's it. I just see them doing like a whole Samoan bit.
Uh-huh.
Just totally culturally appropriating the entire culture.
That's
all I want to see.
I like how like Roman's from Florida and Joe is from California. And then Roman was like, yo, we're from the same island. Oos, you know what happens next.
And then they
started fighting. It was great. I think they're really pushing them both as actual, from American Samoa.
I would like a backstory as far as how the Roman Reigns' family and Samoa Joe's family hated each other. Like,
yeah, that'd
be awesome.
A modern
day Hatfields and McCoys.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I want the story to be. How the island was split in half. And they, because somebody got married off into the family, and now they hate each other. They could do that whole thing.
I think they work very well together. And also, like, I feel like there's so many complaints online about, like, Joe and his position in the company. Yeah, they're putting him in a program with, like, their superhero.
What's interesting, though, with him is that he has not... Yeah, he's in a match with the superhero, and they always use him for that caliber. But he needs... They gotta figure out what they're doing with him. They have a hot heel on their hands.
Absolutely.
A real heel on their hands. And they go forward with it, and then they pull back. They go forward with it, they pull back. I enjoyed that 6 minute, 7 minute match.
Yeah.
It was great for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're kind of doing backwards booking because they already had the match and it was a clean finish.
Right.
And then now you're going to do the program, which is kind of backwards. So whatever. It is what it is.
You had the Sami Zayn Mysterio thing, which is fun. But then, like, Sami Zayn got spooked by Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, the Hurricane, and Sergeant Slaughter. I thought he was going to take all their finishers.
Every one of theirs. So they could have done that.
Which would have been cool.
What did you think of the Street Profits cutting that promo that he was hanging out with Van Damme and that's why his eyes are red?
I love the Street Profits and I love Montez Ford.
You know that was Paul Heyman's whole thing.
Apparently they're not going to be wrestling on Raw. They're just going to show up and be entertaining.
Who?
The Street Profits.
The Street Profits?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that too. Rollins beats AJ and then you have... you had a very... very awkward like exchange between your DX and NWO and the Bullet Club guys.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Did you hear the whole thing that Xbox said on his podcast? How they got the bit and they said, we don't want to do this. We're burying the club.
Mm-hmm.
We're burying these guys. Why do we come out there and bury them? And they got
overruled by
Vince, decision. Yeah. But they didn't want to go out there. They did make them look a little weak. I thought Seth Rollins standing there like a dope
awkward
looked so bad.
Well, that was supposed to be Ricochet.
It was supposed to be Ricochet. But what would Ricochet have done? You know what I mean? Like he was going to do a crotch chop.
Yeah,
I
think so.
Yeah,
I just think it's interesting that Seth is his replacement. And listen, like
anybody in the world could have been the replacement.
Yeah, like Road Dogg could do no wrong.
He was great.
I love Road Dogg.
The Billy comments were good.
They're all good. Kevin Nash always just like looks like he has something else on his mind. You know, like he's like. All right, I'm here. And then he's always like, I feel like I'm not saying like it's in a bad way, but I just feel like every time they showed him on camera, he's thinking about everything else. He's like, all right, I got to get my flight. Ooh, I got to pick up some wine on the way home.
Yeah. Definitely thinking about the wine on the home. His luggage.
If
he's going to check in his luggage or he's going to bring it, try to smuggle it on as a carry-on. He's thinking about all that. Scott Hall is checked out.
Like, whatever.
He's like, I'm just here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
How much do you think these guys got paid for this?
I don't know, a couple grand.
Road Dogg,
well,
probably.
I know what the rate is. I just booked Scott Hall and Kevin Nash for Capital Wrestling in Nashville. Okay. They're going to be in Nashville.
All right.
For Capital Wrestling, which we're going to lay out the entire card next week on the show when we're doing it.
So like 1500.
We could go up a little bit more.
Yeah. Like, all right.
I mean, they're not cheap, and rightfully so, because these guys are a major. If you
legends.
Think about from that era,
yeah,
big names,
mm-hmm.
right? Like past Hogan era. Who else is still out there doing these conventions
that
from that era? That's a major draw.
That is true. People love Big Sexy and Scott Hall.
Yeah.
So then you had like a bunch of other stuff. The 24/7 stuff really took center stage, I think, because like. Surprisingly enough, those are the most popular YouTube segments that WWE puts out. R-Truth is technically the most popular WWE superstar.
On social media.
On social
yeah.
media. Because yeah. of those 24, like those wacky 24/7 segments.
I know. You know what it is? Those segments, the gauge of social media and digital compared to what the reality is, it's very skewed.
Yeah.
It's not an accurate depiction. I think a lot of people concentrate too much on those digital numbers.
Mm-hmm.
WWE, for the longest time, has been, in my opinion, they've been misguided as mm-hmm. to what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
That's why they're in the position that they're in. They've, and this is my assumption. I don't know this for a fact, but I've been told by people this is somewhat on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies, majority of major brands, hire either someone that is a digital expert.
Right.
Like, this is what I do for a living, right? Yeah. I'm a digital expert. I'm a digital marketing expert.
Mm-hmm. Influencer.
I'm a drunk.
I'm a drunk.
I get hired by companies mm-hmm. to evaluate what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do this, but almost everybody else, they blow smoke up everybody's ass.
Oh, yeah.
To make their job seem more important. And they fabricate
mm-hmm.
what they depict as success
right.
compared to what reality is because they're not familiar with the brand.
Right.
WWE, in my opinion, has concentrated way too much on these social numbers,
mm-hmm.
these digital numbers, these yeah. YouTube numbers, and they've separated themselves from what actually is working.
But I think those numbers translate to the boardroom of the pressure.
Of course,
from,
yeah, because you know, it's a buzz phrase. It's a you know 180 million views on YouTube with mm-hmm. the eighth largest channel in the world
right.
on digital. But they're not explaining to you that a lot of those channels are coming from international viewership, one-off clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's very skewed, very very skewed as far as their prime business goes, and that's a problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I do think those segments are great though.
Yeah, that
works. That really works. I thought it was done well.
So like the thing that's interesting, and I tweeted this out before we get to the end of Raw was so when they did the Raw reunion last year at the anniversary show, your big climactic moment. Was all the Bullet Club dudes.
The Too Sweet.
Too Sweet.
Yeah.
All the DX dudes and the Club
And then they
guys.
Made out. Everybody made
and
out.
And everybody was like, this is a boner heaven right now. And then this week they were like, not this time. We're reappropriating our gesture or whatever.
Yeah.
And you guys can't do it because you're the bad guys now.
I know.
And AJ's like, we're just like you. And they're like,
How do you say it?
We're just like you.
We're just like you.
Very weird. And then Raw ends, you know, Braun Strowman beat up some dude. And then Hogan and Flair come out, very awkward in front of everybody.
So they line up everybody,
yeah.
all the legends. Eric Bischoff got no reaction,
yeah.
which I was shocked.
He slid in like a creepo. He slid in like a creep.
He's like, if you want to, whatever, come over to SmackDown. I thought he would get a way bigger reaction considering it's been so long since we've had a Bischoff mm-hmm. moment. Let's see where this goes. There was virtually mm-hmm. no reaction. I think people were not. I don't know that they realized it was him when he did it.
Right.
So Hogan and Flair, Hulk Hogan especially, this was the worst reaction I've heard him get in a long time.
They piped in his music so long.
It was so long. And do you think he doesn't get the reaction because a lot of people are smartened up to like the whole N-word fiasco? Or do you think it's just it's a different audience? Every year they get older, every year a new audience comes in, and they don't understand Hulk Hogan.
When you're confronted with the fact that you're gonna see Stone Cold at some point during the night,
it just you're waiting for that.
You don't care about anything else.
Yeah,
you know, like Flair got a great reaction, Christian got a great reaction, Hogan got a great reaction too, but not as much as you would think, right?
Brother, what's going on?
Come on, let me hear it. Can I do this a bunch?
No.
Can I do this a bunch? So can I write my own promo? No.
Hogan fumbles and bumbles his way through the promo. Mm-hmm. And here comes Austin. Glass shatters. The building blows up.
Yeah.
It just he comes out. He stink eyes RVD.
Get out of my way, RVD.
He stink eyes RVD. Comes out to the ring. He's pounding down IPAs.
So
now,
good.
You got to remember, those they're not like Budweiser or Bud Lights or Miller Lite.
7%
IPAs. They're like 7.5% IPAs. Smashing them, drinking them. Mm. Even though 90% of it is just pouring out of his face.
Still.
He's still getting a lot of it.
Yeah.
By the end of that entire segment, mm-hmm. and which we'll talk about, he was belligerent.
Oh, it's so good.
I posted a video. If you go to Matt Men Podcast on Instagram, Instagram.com/Matt Men Podcast, I posted a fan shot of after Raw went off the air where he's running the ropes. The ring is in shambles. There's cans everywhere. The ring is just covered in beer.
Mm-hmm.
He's running the ropes and stomping on the beer cans.
I'm just having fun.
It was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. I was dying. I thought he was so good. And he had no idea what time it was.
No.
He's like, they're telling me to go home. Do it.
They're telling me to go home. Gerald Briscoe.
I wanted to hear what that Gerald Briscoe story
what was
about.
We were doing things that's illegal.
He was like, well, you remember that time we were in South Africa? Man, I can't talk about that, but I wish I could.
And then he says, what did he say to Hogan? He was like,
I never met Hogan a day in my life. And guess what? I was talking to him at the bar when a couple of drinks and Ric Flair showed up. We all took blow chew.
I apologize for my terrible Austin.
No, your Austin is the best I've ever. It's the worst, best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Best Austin in the world.
Hulk Hogan, who's this guy?
And then Ron Simmons shows up.
That's right, yeah.
And then he's like, people thought we were gay.
No,
that's what he said.
He was like, yeah, he was like,
and I gave Ron Simmons a long and loving embrace, and people were getting the wrong idea. Right?
And Ron Simmons like, hey, man.
And I said, damn to him.
He was rambling like awesome. At the podcast. He did his podcast in a ring. This guy, it just shows you it's not about WWE stifling talent, okay? Yeah. It's about the fact that we were lucky enough to see in one cohesive unit the greatest assembly of professional wrestlers in the same era competing for the same thing.
Yep.
The fact that this guy did nothing in the ring, but he did way more than anybody did on the entire card.
Absolutely.
And listen, the guys are great. The talent's great, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
We just happened to get it back to back to back.
Oh, absolutely.
And now we're back in the age of, you know, there were stars everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not Hulk Hogan, and they're not Steve Austin, they're not The Rock, they're not even Triple H.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fascinating. Would you throw Randy Orton in that category or no?
No. No way. No.
But, like 20 years later, this dude is still the man.
Listen, Austin, you know? I after seeing that, I have to say, Austin is the biggest name in professional wrestling.
Yes.
He did more. He transcended from doom and gloom to the greatest period of financial gains and attendance they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan was the 80s. He was Americana. He was anti-Soviet. He was everything, you know.
Anti-vaxxer.
He was an anti-vaxxer, flat earther. Space faker. He doesn't believe in space.
I'm a space faker.
I'm a space faker.
I'm a flat earther. I'm an anti-vaxxer.
How about JFK?
Where's Kane?
Moon landing.
The moon landing was faked by Stanley Kubrick.
Moon's made out of cheese.
The moon's made out of cheese. It's delicious.
Oh my God.
20 years later, that dude's still the man. I was watching it. My wife was home and she was like, he's still great. You know? Because it's like that whole thing where it's like you could tell he was raring to go. Where he was probably having a couple drinks backstage and just like, all right, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to be, they want Stone Cold. I'm going to be Stone Cold. And I'm also going to hawk my beer on national television.
National television.
And spike his sales through the roof.
So I posted a picture of Hogan and Austin. Did you see that picture?
Oh, it's on our Twitter. Austin's ridiculous arms?
Yeah, Madman Podcast on Twitter. Austin, look, his arms are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just gigantic. And Hogan, I mean, listen, Hogan's Hogan, but He's an old man now. Yeah. 66 years old?
Something like that.
Yeah, 1953, 1954. He's 65, 66 years old. The guy's in good shape. He still thinks he has one more run left.
Right.
He was just... It was night and day. Austin's neck is gigantic. His traps are huge.
Take
his shoulders
care of himself,
are huge.
Man.
This is a guy, and I'm like, you know what? Do a tag match, man.
Ooh,
do
like,
a tag match.
Like Hogan and Austin?
No. Not do Goldberg and Austin, or you do Austin and somebody versus Goldberg and somebody.
No way.
A young guy, old guy, young guy, old. Kevin Owens and Austin versus Goldberg. And
Shane.
No, you got to give me someone that could work in the ring. Give me someone that's on a Goldberg
Careful.
Okay, Austin Hogan. Okay, I'm sorry. Austin Kevin Owens because of the stunner.
Right.
Who else? You know what? Roman and Goldberg.
Roman and Undertaker.
Roman and Undertaker.
Roman and Goldberg.
Give me Goldberg, Roman, and give me Kevin Owens and Austin. Austin doesn't work. Goldberg doesn't work.
Okay.
This is how they do the match, okay? Kevin Owens and Reigns do the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Austin gets tagged in. Goldberg gets tagged in.
Uh-huh.
First of all, the match is 8 minutes in already.
Is Goldberg already concussed at this point?
Yeah, but from
his
head.
Does he smash one of Austin's beers over his
over
head?
His head. And then he bites into it and he just like a shot. So here we go. I'm doing the match. The match is already, it just started, by the way. 8 minutes of entrances.
Yeah.
Austin's drunk already. You know, he's doing the whole thing. Yeah. He's not drunk, but he's doing the whole thing. Austin's shredded.
Mm-hmm. Looking good.
Looking good. Knee braces up to his chest.
The only wrestler that could possibly have a beer belly with a six pack.
Yeah, best thing. So they do the stare down, okay? Goldberg does, you're next. They lock up. Austin puts him in a headlock. Mm-hmm. Off the rope, shoulder tackle.
Does
one of those. You do that whole thing for a little bit. And now they start boom, 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 back and forth. He goes for the spear, misses, goes to the outside. Austin now, mm-hmm. Roman goes for the spear, misses, goes to the outside. Kevin Owens comes in, whole pose down. They do a whole thing. They're back in the ring. The finish is, goes for the jackhammer, can't do it. Austin goes for the stunner, reverses. Kevin Owens hits the stunner on Goldberg.
I like that.
And Reigns hits a spear on Austin.
You're missing one important thing. The Goldberg-Austin stare down where Goldberg's like, you're next.
Yeah.
Austin does the double finger.
Double finger.
You need a lot of middle fingers in
How
this
can
match.
You not do this? They would not even have to work.
Well, they
5 minutes. That's it. They just need to do a couple things. Boom, boom, boom. None.
Well, apparently the big thing is WWE is severely on the outs with Bill Goldberg.
Right is that happening?
Yeah, because of, let's just put it this way. It wasn't the best match in Saudi Arabia.
No, that was not. And you know what? It was so bad that Undertaker had to come back and try to fix it with that other match. And he did great in the other match.
Austin takes his middle fingers and just puts them in Goldberg's mouth.
Right in his mouth? And he just goes like this. But it could be done. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, I would love it for it to happen. Love it.
I think I really do feel like Austin has like one more amazing match.
What a missed opportunity, huh? That match?
Yeah.
What a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think one of the... Because Austin has Hogan on his podcast next week on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I think that is going to be very fascinating because that's a missed opportunity.
They never did that podcast together?
No.
I could
Hogan did Jericho.
Hogan did Jericho. I you know what? In my mind, if I had to bet money, I thought that interview happened years ago.
No. It was a two-part Hogan Jericho, which was like ended up being like 4 hours. And it was really I don't know if you remember that one. It was really good because like Hogan brought down the veneer.
Yeah, he was Terry, brother.
He was Terry. Yeah. He was just like, brother, blah, blah, blah. And Jericho was like awestruck, you know? He was like, oh, he's the man.
Yeah. I would love to see just one. I want to see that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see that moment. That's all I want.
You just want Austin stunners.
You just have to hit one stunner and that's it. And he hits it on Goldberg or he hits it on Roman. Kevin Owens could take, I mean, they'll let them do all the work. And I'll say I had my last match. I ended it properly.
I got a good one. Triple H, Kevin Owens, Austin versus OC.
Okay.
Yeah, that could work too.
I want to see Goldberg. Okay. I want to see Goldberg Austin.
You just want to see Goldberg take stunners.
Yeah. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. So what did you think of SmackDown? Because there's a lot of story coming out of SmackDown this week.
SmackDown was fun.
The ratings held up.
Yeah.
Last week's ratings were tremendous, by the way. There was a huge gain in ratings. And if I was looking at the numbers, I would equate it to a couple things. One, people thought it was Eric Bischoff's first show.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they were really questioning what this Daniel Bryan scenario was.
Yeah, yeah.
This week, he by the way, he doesn't say anything last week. This week, he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened.
Right.
They totally dropped that whole thing.
Yep.
Apparently, at 4 o'clock, Vince McMahon showed up and to SmackDown and redid the entire show
because
he hated it. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what the original story was. That's why the show is a little wonky.
Yeah.
They built stories. Like, if you – that Shawn Michaels moment, that's why Shawn wasn't on commentary, which that was the whole build-up,
too. Yeah, yeah.
They did that in-ring segment. It looks like they were building to a Shawn Michaels-Dolph Ziggler match for SummerSlam.
Very weird.
That is not happening, which I would love to see that match. You know what? If Shawn was to have a return match with somebody that could really do well with him, it would be Dolph. That
you
would
think
be.
So?
I think so. Yeah. Listen, you know how I feel about Dolph. I think he's good in the ring. I think he came in an era where he was very unique in that mid 2000s, late 2000s, where you didn't like him at all. He had his moment. He was getting over.
I'm never a big Dolph guy.
I liked him for a very short period of time, and they just couldn't pull the trigger on him to transcend him into that moment.
Did you like it when he won the title from Del Rio the night after?
I did love that. Yeah, I did. I did enjoy that.
So, like, we started the show with Kevin Owens and Shane, which I do like the program, and I think if there's anybody that could, like, they do a good job of people who can pull good matches out of Shane.
Okay, yeah.
You know? And then you went right to Nakamura beating Apollo Crews, which is cool. The Miz TV segment, which was fine. But it's one of those weird, like, Michaels' promo was very good.
It was very good how he spent his entire career being a ripoff of Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done. I mean, that to me is, okay, so you buried him, right? You said what everybody has seen in him. And are you having a match?
Right.
What's happening here?
I think he's going to end up being in the corner.
Of whoever
of
it is.
Of whoever. I do think we have one more Shawn Michaels
match. So
they've
done this. They do this with Shawn a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? This has happened multiple times. They did this with Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
A couple years ago. When it was like him versus the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And Shawn came out and he told him, you know, he cut this thing, you know, promo on him. And you're like, wow, okay. Are they going to have a match?
Right.
Because that's what this looks like. And that obviously wasn't happening. They're doing it again with this. They've done it. They did it with, who was the other one they did it with?
You know,
a couple years ago.
They teased AJ on Monday, too.
With who?
With Shawn. Because when they were doing, like, the talk back, like, the talk back in the ring, and AJ was just, like, pointing at Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels was like, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's such, it's so lazy when you book. Listen, man, I criticize them because I face the same struggles when I work with Matt from Capital Wrestling and when we're like coming up with ideas, you know, if I'm like pitching an idea. You have to understand when you throw things like this out there, when you drop it in there and it doesn't happen and you know that people want to see it, whatever you do after this, it's going to be dead
right.
on arrival because it's not Shawn Michaels coming back.
So you'd like to see Shawn and Ziggler.
I would like them not to do it in the way that they did it.
Okay.
If you're utilizing Shawn Michaels, utilize him in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come out with a feud with a guy that's half his, you know, popularity.
Okay.
And is a ripoff. I mean, I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, but you look at him and you can see the inspiration of Shawn Michaels in his entire career, down to his trunks and his moveset, everything.
Yeah.
His look, he is totally inspired by Shawn Michaels, and so are a lot of other people. But when you put him up against Shawn, one of the greatest of all time,
right?
And you start teasing a storyline, and all it does is bury the younger talent
into
people being like, yeah, you know what? He is a Shawn Michaels ripoff. He sucks.
At this point, I don't think Dolph Ziggler could be affected by getting buried.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
I don't think he cares.
And also, they clearly love the guy. You know?
They clearly love the guy.
And
so,
where's he going to go? He doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to, like, quit and go to Japan.
He's making bread.
Yeah, he's doing good.
And that sucks when you are just there because you're like, eh, whatever, I'm collecting my paycheck.
Happy to be here.
I'm a couple days a week. I did hear that those Monday house shows are getting canceled.
Okay.
They had one this past week. When SmackDown goes to Fridays, the whole schedule is changing. It's going to really screw things up. Those Monday house shows are drawing terribly, and they're starting to lose money on them.
Right.
and they're not in the business of losing money. They had virtually nobody at that Monday house show, which is crazy to think that they ran them. They haven't been running those Monday house shows for a couple of weeks, and this was the first week that they ran it because they had a larger amount of talent available because they weren't on the card for Raw. I thought it was really stupid of them to run.
Yeah.
So, all that is happening. You want to, anything else for WWE?
Well, you had Kofi and Randy.
Kofi and Randy, and I believe Randy's beating him.
At SummerSlam?
Because do you remember we report a couple of months ago, we said, it looks like Randy Orton's going to get the title going into October. So, it looks like Randy will potentially beat him. I don't know why. Listen, there is nothing fundamentally, I don't find anything wrong with Randy Orton at all. Like, I watch him in the ring, and a lot of people think he's boring. Yeah. I think he's phenomenal. Do you see him as a boring wrestler, or do you see him as, oh my God, this guy's so good?
I think he's great. I think Randy Orton's like, listen.
By the way, let's do a cheers.
If you do, if like that thing that JBL used to say every week is true. If you build a wrestler from the ground up, you get Randy Orton.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he's literally the prototype
he's
of
he's big, great, good moveset, knows how to work, but I just, like, I don't think his wrestling is boring. I just think he's boring, you know? That's it. You don't have to be, like, super exciting all the time.
You know who loves him? You know who loves him?
Who?
Emerging markets.
Okay.
They love Randy Orton. They love him.
Because he's, like, a tried-and-true method.
He's a tried... But they love him in emerging markets. It's actually... I had a conversation with somebody on the merchandising side, and he was telling me that they go nuts for Randy Orton merchandise in India, in the Middle East... in South America, in any emerging market for them.
Is it because Randy's multi-ethnic looking?
I think he, again, I think it's what you said.
Yeah.
He is the epitome of a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Cool guy, tattoos, he's a badass, he's a snake.
Tall.
Emerging markets love snakes.
People love snakes.
People love snakes, they love him. His move is cool. Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting following for Randy Orton because he works.
I think it's the attitude, too.
It is the attitude. Yeah, I think it works. I think it works for what it is. But I watch his matches. I'm like, wow, he's such a great pro wrestler.
All around.
I don't think his style has evolved to today.
No. Would you flip if you saw Randy Orton do a moonsault?
Yes. I would flip.
Like, against Kofi Kingston,
yeah.
He just busts out like a corkscrew. Like a top rope corkscrew.
Yeah.
Senton.
I would love to just go to the just fly.
Randy could fly.
So we're looking at that. We're also not looking at Undertaker and Drew.
Yeah,
I was told that's off.
Taker's got no match at SummerSlam, right?
I was told that was the plan, and now there isn't. I find it ridiculous that they blew their chance on Extreme Rules and didn't save him for SummerSlam. I guess because SummerSlam is a set show already.
It's the
first. They know it's going to be successful.
Was it the first SummerSlam in Toronto?
Is it? Of all time?
I think so.
I think Toronto when I think summer.
Yeah, right? SummerSlam, Toronto.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it might be the first one. Which it'll be a hot crowd, obviously. That's always a great market for them to go to. I think it'll be a good show, but...
No, I don't think this was the first one. This is...
MG Geek would know.
SummerSlam 2002?
Was that in Toronto?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember.
At the Scotia Bank Center?
And SummerSlam 2002 was... 2002. What was the main event for 2002?
Hang on, let's do some research right now. I think it was John Cena something.
2002 wasn't John Cena. He wasn't even conceived at that point.
Dates and venues.
I think it was Rock Brock, SummerSlam 02.
Let's
and then
see.
Sean... Sean,
I was
and
wrong. I'm wrong. Yeah,
Triple H.
SummerSlam 2004 was in Toronto.
Okay,
and it was the main event was Randy Orton versus Chris Benoit for the heavyweight championship.
Okay, 2002 was in Long Island,
right? And then they did 6 years in
LA,
4 years in Brooklyn,
yeah,
and now Toronto.
Okay,
I liked the one in Brooklyn.
The Brooklyn one was fine. It was great. It was great, you know. It was easy in the summer.
Yeah.
Terrible in the winter. So, that was Raw. That was everything that's going on. Did you watch the... Did we talk about the Evolve show at all?
Yes.
Okay.
We did. Who do you want to win the G1?
Oh, man. Moxley's doing good.
He's got 8 points.
Do you have the bracket?
I do. Oh, I can get the bracket. Yeah. I think I can.
G1 bracket 2019. We should be better prepared for this. But CBS Sports is covering the G1, which I find bizarre.
So good.
Let's see. Where are the matches? Where are we right now? We're in the 27th. So today was Kenta Okada. So this happened already. I got to watch this.
Apparently, like, really don't match.
Dude, these are such great matches. Okada Kenta, Sonata Tanahashi, Archer Ibushi, Bad Luck Fale Ospreay, and Zack Sabre Jr. Evil. Tomorrow, B-Block is Ishii Robinson, Toru Yano, Yuck versus Goto, Taichi versus Jeff Cobb, John Moxley versus Naito.
That's going to be awesome.
Yep. Jay White versus Takagi. Yeah. Then the 30th, on Tuesday, we have Okada, Lance Archer, Tanahashi, Evil, Ibushi, Bad Luck Fale, Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr., and Kenta Sonata. That should be a good match, too.
Ishii has been putting on nothing but clinics. Hey, did you see his match with Moxley?
Oh, my God. So good.
Amazing.
And they, you know what? It was a brawl.
It was a straight-up brawl.
It was a straight-up brawl.
The fact that Ishii took air and did the top rope splash onto the outside was effing
was
ridiculous.
Great. Mm. So let's... I'm going to go...
Okada's got 10 points.
How does Okada have 10 points?
A-Block.
Oh, A-Block is ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it.
Okada's got 10 points. Kenta's got 8 points. And on B-Block, Moxley has 8 points, and Juice has 6 points. I think Moxley's only loss in B-Block is going to end up being Juice Robinson.
He beat Juice already, didn't he? They didn't face each other?
No.
Okay.
They were doing the tag stuff against each other.
Well, B-Block, you also have Jeff Cobb there. You have Goto, which we saw Goto, right?
Yeah.
Jay
White. No, Jay White's not doing too good.
You have Goto, you have Ishii, you have Moxley, Yano, Cobb, Takagi, Jay White,
Naito,
and Taichi.
Yeah.
And Naito. So B block on Thursday, you're gonna get Naito, Robinson, Goto, Ishii. I feel like Goto and Ishii have faced each other 5 million times.
Yes.
Toru Yano, John Moxley. I'm kind of into this now. I hate Toru Yano, but I'm kind of into this.
I think that's gonna end up with Mox just busting him open.
And just ending the match.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way because you know Toru Yano always has the upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Takagi, Jeff Cobb, Jay White. Let's see when the next big match for Moxley. Oh, Moxley, Jay White, Sunday, August 4th.
That's gonna be good.
And then you also have Moxley Goto, which is gonna be good. Then you have Moxley, Juice Robinson, B-Block, Sunday, August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the final one before A-Block versus B-Block final winners.
So let's say the end of your G1 is Okada versus Moxley.
Okada versus Moxley has to happen. And by the way, they're not going to have an opportunity to do this again.
Right.
This is it.
And
this is your chance.
Moxley loses. Okada picks his challenger. Okada picks Liger.
Do you put...
in Liger's last match.
Because
they're doing the Wrestle Kingdom is two nights.
Wrestle Kingdom is two nights, which that's so weird. I'm curious how they're going to do this.
I think you're going to get I really do think you're going to get a tribute match of Okada versus Liger because it's supposed to be Liger's last. This is Liger's retirement run.
I know that, but how do you split? So what's a more important show? That first Tokyo Dome one or the second one?
I think the second one.
The second one is the bigger one.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have double main events essentially.
Right.
I don't know John Moxley's commitments to that. I guess he's committed because he's their champion, their United States champion.
Mm-hmm.
But
so he's gotta do another event after the final.
After
right?
the final, he has one more commitment, I believe.
Right.
So he drops the title to Juice.
Yeah. Or Jay White.
Or Jay White.
Mm-hmm. Or Ibushi.
The U.S. Well, you know, non-American is not held that title.
Or non-Gaijin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I'm very curious how they laid this out because Moxley's been performing really well. And I do think this is a, I think for Moxley, this was him to recondition, not wrestling a WWE style.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Cody left and his matches were very WWE matches?
Yeah.
He still has a very WWE style match, but he modified it. It took him some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's reconditioning. When you wrestle a certain way and only wrestle with certain type of people that wrestle exactly the same way,
yeah,
you need to kind of get that out of your system. And I think this was the best thing for for Moxley. Absolutely. To kind of get in essentially a year's worth of wrestling.
Oh yeah,
into 1 month.
Major matches.
Major match. I mean, we're talking major style differences and, you know, yeah, brawling, technical, high fly. He's doing
hardcore.
Hardcore. Yeah. He's wrestling all those different styles. Mm-hmm. I want to see what Moxley's going to do, because AEW's success really is going to rely on Jon Moxley blowing up into a megastar.
Okay.
So let's talk about AEW a little
bit. Sure.
TNT officially announced that they are putting AEW on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday, 51 weeks, actually. They might be preempted a couple times, but overall, it's going to be a live show. They announced the first location. It's going to be the Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C., which was, you know, it was a hotbed in WCW.
Yeah.
It's a big building. It's a very big building compared to running, you know, like Barclays. It's a 20-something seat arena, so they could probably squeeze 15,000 in there with a stage and everything. I think they'll sell it immediately. They also said that they're not going to do traditional buildings all the time.
Yeah.
Which will add a different feel.
Dynamic.
Like WCW. Where would they do Club Lavella, right? That was WCW?
Yeah.
That was an awesome venue. We'll see what happens. I think right now they're in a very dangerous position. Mm-hmm. What happened here? My plug came out.
Are you okay?
Yeah, my
you're
laptop's
like
not
very
starting.
Very fidgety right
there
now.
There we go. No, because I'm trying to position myself. They're in a very interesting position because a lot of the allure has gone. We saw what they could do.
Okay.
We've seen what they're weak in. We've seen what they're really successful in. Chug that, baby. And now it's time. You know, now it's over. This whole giving them time, it's over. The next show that they have in about 30 days, right, 31 days, is going to be crucial. I think that show's going to be very successful because that is their real pay-per-view. The other two shows that we've had are Saturday house shows, essentially.
Showcases.
By the way, they are going to run house shows on Saturdays.
Cool.
They're going to run about 120 dates a year with TV tapings on Wednesday, TV on Wednesday, a pay-per-view once every quarter, a major pay-per-view, according to them, and Saturday house shows. I would anticipate that those Saturday house shows will be on BR Live.
Yes.
I would assume so. And
that's
a
smart move.
I think they're going to be a much lower in quality production than the pay-per-views.
It'll probably look like CEO.
It'll probably look like CEO. Maybe a little less. Maybe a little less, you know, quality.
So far, there are only six matches announced for All Out.
And it's going to be a very long show, that one. That one's going to be like a five-hour show.
I think so. Like, you have Darby Allin versus Joey Janela versus Jimmy Havoc. That's going to be fun.
Nice hardcore match.
Cody versus Sean Spears with Tully Blanchard in his corner. I think that's going to be fascinating.
Okay.
The Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks
in a ladder
match.
And that's the end of their feud, by the way.
Yeah. This is
for
the blow-off, right?
For now. This is the blow-off. And that's for the AAA titles,
yes,
right? Okay.
The Best Friends versus the Dark Order.
And that is for number one contendership?
A first-round bye for the AEW tag tournament.
Okay.
Mox versus Kenny. And Adam Page versus Chris Jericho. I do think they're going to put that belt on Chris Jericho.
Maybe they want you to think that. I think they need to put that belt on Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
If you're going into TV, yeah,
you need that name recognition.
I think they need to put that belt on Chris Jericho. Like they I don't think Hangman, which I love Hangman, you're talking about name notoriety, name recognition.
Right.
You need a guy that could transcend whoever the next champion's going to be. And I don't think I can't see Chris working matches every month or every couple of weeks for them. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's smart enough not to. He's going to get that title. He'll do 3 months of talking crap.
Right.
And now you have a, you know, whoever that guy's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Moxley or if it's going to be, or if it's going to be Kenny. Do you put that title on Kenny? Because Kenny's way better chasing.
Yes.
I've always said this. Kenny's a way better babyface chasing for the title rather than hanging on to that title.
Yeah.
His IWGP world title reign was eh.
Yeah, I do think that's a lot. I think A lot of that had to do with the backstage politics of a lot of people not liking Kenny for some reason.
Well, it happened because they knew that they were going to, you know, he was one foot out. But, or maybe the first show, listen, maybe MG Geek says the first show is going to be Mox Jericho for the title, maybe. I don't think they'll get rid of the title and put it on Moxley that fast. If they do, who do you think should get that number one, that title match afterwards? Who do you think should be the guy to beat Jericho if he gets the title?
Moxley.
You think it should be Moxley over Kenny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just because, like, I think if you had, because these guys have worked well together on WWE television, right?
Yeah.
And they had great matches together. I do think that chemistry will come back and you'll get some really cool stuff. However, I do think for your first title, it should be a heel and it should be chased for a while.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, I agree with you. And the dastardly heel that comes out and everybody's booing in the building, so it already conditions the audience, that new audience.
Yeah.
That oh man, this guy's a bad guy.
There's also a tricky aspect to it because Cody, the Bucks, and Kenny are all executive vice presidents, right?
Yeah.
So if you put the belt on Kenny, people are just gonna automatically be like,
I know, but you know that's kind of the thing that sucks, right? Because they're really the important key to that company.
Yeah.
And same thing with Cody.
Yeah.
But they are the stars of the company, so exactly. You have to put the title on them. And I think right now, I was told that they are very much aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bad thing, and I think that's going to hinder their booking decisions, and they're not going to push themselves to the moon.
Okay.
I think that it's going to hinder their push, and they need to be very careful because they have a star in Kenny.
Right.
And at this moment, it's dropped. That value mm-hmm. has gone down tremendously.
Do you think so?
I do. Okay. Yeah. The buzz with Kenny Omega has gone down, and that's fine. It's understandable because they're not on TV.
Right.
And he's not wrestling every week that he was.
His match with Cena was pretty damn awesome.
With Cena was great.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a guy that had 6-star matches every single time you saw him.
Hey, give him a rest.
Yeah, he's on a rest. He's healed up. Yeah. I think he'll be fine. But right now, his stock has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So great opportunity for them to build him up again.
Yeah. Oh, no. Not again.
I do think they do have some issues with star power.
Okay.
I get building MJF and Hangman, but I was talking to someone who is a well-known wrestling journalist.
Okay.
Okay? Not Dave Meltzer, but it's somebody that is very credible and reliable.
Bill Apter.
It was not Bill Apter.
Was it me?
It was you.
Oh, cool.
The cutest boy in the world. And we were talking about, you know, where I hear my stuff from. We weren't, I mean, trading who told us what, but a lot of my information, it does come from the wrestling side. I generally don't tend to, I will always double and triple and quadruple check confirmation from a wrestler.
Right.
But when I hear it from somebody on a television side of things, I know that is an easier confirmation for me. And I won't have as much of an issue because it's a legitimate confirmation from the TV side that's
right.
not skewed by it's not skewed by, you know, these you mm-hmm. know guys.
What are your thoughts on the CM Punk stuff?
Okay, I think everybody's working this right now.
Okay,
I could tell you that he did not get a contract offer over a text message.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's him. Listen, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, he's a very peculiar guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know the whole story with Hornswoggle? What happened with them? They were very close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Hornswoggle texted him asking for a mutual friend's phone number that mm-hmm. he had that he couldn't find on his new phone. And CM Punk killed the friendship and said, mm-hmm. you're using me for my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
You're using me. Like, his mind is... It operates very differently than a lot of other people.
Right, right.
So I don't know how much of it is a work and how much isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that he is positioning himself to be very valuable.
Right.
He has the name recognition. This is a guy that lived and was breathing professional wrestling,
yeah.
going up and down the road. When you're that passionate about committing to something and you're making no money, it doesn't just leave your system when
right.
you're gone. And if you really want to stick it to the company that you feel screwed you in some way, wouldn't this be the greatest way to do it?
Mm-hmm.
By you showing up on their TV in your hometown,
right?
Getting the biggest reaction ever.
Yeah, he would get an Austin level reaction. I think
he would blow the roof off that building.
Even if he just came out, because he's doing StarCast that weekend, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool of him, to get out there and give back to the fans. And he even said, he's like, I do these things once a year, you know? What, like, and it must be, he must be in a really tough position because A, he's probably getting tweeted at by a million wrestling dweebs, and also going out in public, it's probably got to be bad too for the same reason. And also, like, people misconstrue and just take major news out of, like, small things that this guy says. You know what I mean? Because people still, like, and I'm very, very, who's another wrestler that still gets chanted for? Regardless of him being in the, he hasn't been in WWE in 5 years.
Yeah, so
and
who still gets
CM Punk chants.
I can't think of anybody.
Right?
I really can't.
I think for a period in time when RVD left after like his, like when he was on top and he had like kind of his issue and they let him go.
Oh, you would hear RVD. Yeah.
You'd hear like RVD chants. You still get ECW chants. I think that's it. It's like CM Punk chants and ECW chants.
Yeah.
Very weird. You don't hear like Undertaker chants. You don't hear like
randomly. Yeah.
You know, so like even now, like I think there was a CM Punk chant on Raw. It's very bizarre, and it's very fascinating, and also the love, that passionate love that people have for him could be very bizarre, too.
Yeah, and the hatred now.
And people the hatred, yeah.
Because people feel like he mm-hmm. turned on the fans.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. I find that very interesting that people are that guttural with their reaction mm-hmm. to him about how upset they are with him leaving.
Which is nuts.
Which is fast. I don't know. I don't get committed to an individual that much where it's going to be, I'm going to be like, F this guy, he turned his back on me.
Right.
You know, I guess, but I also don't go to signings and right. I don't, you know, I don't have a fan page to CM Punk.
Well, you don't like waiting online either.
I also don't wait online for anything, even food.
Yeah.
I won't wait online.
It has to be delivered. If CM Punk was delivered to your house.
I would love him. Give him a hug. Big hug. So
he comes in a box though.
So Cody did an interview and he said that, he's like, I don't know about offering him a contract over a text message, but we have spoken to him. Mm-hmm. At least one of us have spoken to him, and we've, you know,
in person,
told him that if he wants some, you know, it's here. I don't know. This could all be a great work.
Mm-hmm.
I think these guys are a whole lot smarter than this, especially CM Punk, to burn Chris Harrington. Thank you so much. Cheers to you. 99 cents.
Thanks, bud.
I think they're all smarter than this, and why mm-hmm. would he? Another 99 sets, Chris Harrington. Cheers again. I'm gonna chug this now. Should I chug this?
Yeah, chug it.
All right, cheers. Just
get effed up.
Ah, sweet nectar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't. And if I'm Tony Khan, mm-hmm. right? If I'm Tony Khan, I'm gonna say like, dude, you're sending text messages offering him a contract. What the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
So I don't think that's necessarily happening.
Yeah,
I do think this is a great ploy into him coming back and be like, these fools offered me a contract on a text message.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you people? Get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be a really good heel. Or, you know, he'll show up. And it was a swerve.
So picture this. You ready?
Picture this. Sicily, 1922.
picture this. Jericho wins, beats Hangman.
Lights go off.
Cuts a promo to the crowd.
I'm the greatest.
Blah, blah, blah. Lights go off. He gets... because CM Punk did that mask running at a show a couple months ago. Same thing, except he takes the mask off this time.
I would have him come out with his freaking theme.
Hits him with the, yeah.
I would have him come out with the theme and everybody just loses their mm-hmm. minds.
I think people would go effing apeshit.
Oh, if the music hit?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, we have a month. They got mm-hmm. a month to figure this out. The guy is doing signing. He's going to
mm-hmm.
be there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to, you got to figure it out. Couple match deal just for that TV launch. Just do it and see how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He has months to get ready for TV.
I think it would be great. And again, like you kind of fall into that weird like fandom of like, ooh yeah, that would be cool if you had a roster that had Kenny Omega, CM Punk, Jon Moxley, Chris Jericho, Hangman, the Bucks,
yeah,
and the Lucha Brothers.
Well, who else is there for them to? This is an honest conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not comparing this to TNA just grabbing every former WWE
right.
guy. But the reality is WWE has monopolized the sheer star power
yes.
of the industry. So if you have people available, who would be that available guy that will potentially bring you a tremendous amount of eyeballs?
Josh says Ryback.
Ryback.
Yeah,
there really isn't anybody left.
Daniel Bryan?
No, but I'm saying available. Available guys.
Okay.
Realistically available guy that you could put on TV and people say, oh my God, I got to tune into this.
Tough. It's tough because do you think the indie scene is kind of hurting a little bit because your top indie guys are getting scooped up?
I think the indie scene will always do well because there's talent always coming up.
Okay.
And this is giving opportunity to the new guys to get bookings and to put eyeballs. I'm like, we're going to see, there's going to be a whole new level within the next 2-3 years. They're in a rebuilding phase, which is fine. I will still go to Evolve shows if you know, Ricochet's not headlining, for example. It doesn't really affect that, but I do feel like if you have the availability to a guy that, you know, you want over 700,000 viewers per week for that show on TNT. You need it. You don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want, if you're going to throw a couple mil to this guy to come in and to really stick it to Vince, because that obviously has to be on the back of his mind, you know, this is the moment. There's nobody else available on the free market that could spike your viewership by 200,000 viewers.
Sandman.
The Sandman.
Awesome.
But you know what I mean? Like, let's say 200,000. That's a fair boost in ratings.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns came back to 300,000 plus.
Depending on how it goes and depending on who loves the industry, there could be that coup of who's to stop a Steve Austin from showing up?
Steve Austin's smart enough not to do that because he loves his residuals and he loves the fact that he gets paid. And he's, you know, Steve Austin's making money by WWE not to go anywhere.
Well, I mean, technically Bubba is still making WWE money every time they put him in a video game or every time, you know.
Yeah, they all do.
All the Dudley Boy stuff, you know. I think that's fascinating. But you can have a guy like that, that'll a big name. Like Bret Hart showed up at that first show because Bret could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I'm saying wrestle.
To wrestle.
Yeah, I'm saying a guy to go out there and draw big to wrestle.
I don't know.
Only him. You know, the days of thinking about Kevin Nash returning or Hulk Hogan coming back, you know, that was always dangled in the 2000s, and now that's gone. So you have a guy that could potentially, like him or leave, you know, like him or don't like him. The reality is, if he goes to AEW, it's going to be a major get for them.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens with that. I'm still going with the thinking that if there was ever an opportunity for him to come, this is it.
Right.
This is the moment. So we'll see what happens with that. By the way, Marty Scurll, his situation is fascinating because his contract was over around WrestleMania. He got an extension till August, the end of August. Now the question is, does he go to AEW? I know WWE really wants him.
Yeah.
I know Ring of Honor is going to try to throw a lot at him to keep him. But
I think he should be in AEW. You got to be with his buddies, right?
Well, you also have to think about yourself.
Yeah.
There is some issue there. I just want to say. There is something happening there.
Yeah.
A
little falling out with Marty?
I don't know a little falling out or not, but something changed. Something has shifted. So we'll see what happens.
PCO.
There.
PCO's influence.
It's all PCO. But, you know, I think that's an interesting topic of discussion here. Before we go into the next topic, I want to prepare you guys. Get your questions ready.
Yeah.
Because we're going to answer your questions now.
Let's make it quick because it's very hot.
It is very hot in here. It is. Do you want to guess the temperature?
89.
87. Close.
It is hot.
87 degrees. Submit your questions and we will do our best to answer them. Anything and everything you want to know from professional wrestling, we'll talk about. NXT, says MG Geek. So that situation is, we spoke about this months ago, how when the Foxy was happening, I was told by somebody on the TV side that NXT was in play. This was definitely a discussion to have. This was definitely a conversation that they were having.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just out of thin air that this topic came up. This was a strategic concept that WWE had. And with AEW going on Wednesday nights, it looks like, and I had said 2020, I still stand by 2020 because that's what I was told, but it could be pushed forward. NXT will be going to FS1. For a 1-hour block from 9 to 10.
Interesting.
to kind of hemorrhage those second hour numbers for AEW.
Interesting.
So it's going to be interesting. I don't think they're going to be able to do as much damage as they would like, because the Vince is not going to put WWE programming against them and hurt both products. But NXT is an interesting product to do because it's still on network.
Yeah.
You still watch it there. It's not really hurting the numbers. I have not heard it's going to be live or anything. I just heard that it's still going to be the NXT program just going on FS1. FS1 is a much smaller reach than TNT. It's in a few million less homes. And they, we'll see. I think it sucks for the fan, obviously, if they do that. And you're more inclined to watch live programming. But that NXT deal is not just pre-recorded content that they do.
Yeah.
I've been told that specials might come into play if the ratings are good. So you may get a two-hour NXT live special going head-to-head against AEW.
Besides the takeovers.
The takeovers are going to be on the network, obviously. But this is besides the takeovers every couple of weeks to do a two-hour live presentation.
And also, there's rumors of an NXT Canada being head up by Santino Marella.
I was told training-wise, not necessarily TV.
Also, we're getting the next takeover at Toronto.
Yes.
Want
to go fast with that?
Yeah. Shayna Baszler versus Mia Yim, I think that's going to be fun.
Great.
Velveteen versus Pete Dunne versus Roddy, that's going to be great. Street Profits versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, that's going to be fun. Adam Cole versus Johnny Gargano in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Championship. It's going to be an hour-long match.
Yeah, 1 hour long. Will AEW embarrass WWE by beating them if NXT? No, because it's not intended to beat AEW. It's intended to hemorrhage their viewership.
Right.
You know, AEW is in a position where 100,000 people, losing 100,000 people could be crucial to their numbers.
Also, Vince said, I don't see how TNT can keep them on the air if they keep
blood
doing
and guts.
The blood and guts stuff.
It's the same thing he did in 1995, 1996. No, 94, 95, when they were starting to get a little nervous. And he said, well, we do steroid testing. And if Ted Turner is so committed, he should commit to a pack where we're going to do the same scrutiny and testing for the industry. And he did this whole thing about how he was saving the industry with a steroid testing policy and a drug testing policy.
Uh-huh.
And Ted Turner didn't want to do this. It's the same Vince playbook.
Same thing.
It's wild.
So weird.
Wild.
They're not going to go anywhere.
The blood and guts.
Blood and guts stuff. I mean, we had a couple of moments, right?
Do we forget that they had Brock Lesnar pummel, genuinely hit and concuss Randy Orton to bust his head open?
Yeah. Well, I mean, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's an interesting thing because I don't necessarily think they see AEW as competition, but I do think they need to push the cool factor again.
Yeah.
You know, where they're like, all right, how can we get the kids back without crossing the PG line?
Listen, the other thing, Vince never commented on TNA.
Right.
He never, in a call, would have even addressed them in any manner. It was always below him.
Dixie who?
But now, and they had Hogan, they had Sting, they had Flair, they had Foley, they had Nash, they had Hall, they had all these guys. Now he's like, okay, I'm curious what he thought when he first saw what they, obviously he got his 5-minute pack.
Right.
So he's like, okay, this looks pretty good.
Kenny who? Ah, it's that guy with the hair.
That guy. It's that every single match.
That guy.
It's that guy again.
Japanese guy. Japanese fella.
So I don't know. I think it's very interesting that he called it blood and guts.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Meanwhile, he's probably texting Cody about how proud he is of him.
I don't know. I would, if I was Vince, I would say, you know what? This kid got balls to go up against me. His dad tried it. He's trying it. I think it's good for the industry. I think the bigger question here is the test for Hunter. Okay.
Okay.
Vince is obviously thinking they're below us. We're giving you NXT.
Be cool again.
What are you going to do, Hunter?
Mm-hmm.
Can you beat him? Because imagine if they're doing like 500,000-600,000 people on FS1.
Right.
That'll be interesting.
This is just good for wrestling fans.
Who's the next NXT call-up? I would assume it would be the loser of the Gargano-Adam Cole match.
You think so?
Yeah, you also have to be careful if you are going to put NXT on TV. Now it's a whole different scenario.
Right.
These guys, none of these guys are going to come up unless they're mega, mega powers, you know, mega stars.
Matt Riddle, I could see, excuse me.
Matt Riddle would be the greatest one. Matt Riddle would be the guy.
Babatunde.
Babatunde's a big boy.
The guy that emailed us yesterday.
The guy that emailed us yesterday. What was his name? Samoan Patrick.
Samoan Jax.
Samoan Jax.
I do think that's somebody trolling us. We got an awesome email yesterday from, if it's real, this is impeccable. If it's troll, good job. It's pretty funny. Do you want to read the email? Can I read a highlight of the email?
Yeah, you could read a highlight of the email. I don't want to read the email if it is real, because then, you know, it was actually funny because I can't tell if it's like someone trolling us.
I'm going to read this. I'm going to read parts of this verbatim.
Yeah.
All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
I'll just read the first sentence
and
the last sentence.
You want to give his name or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm American Samoan. I have wrestling background. I wrestle in independent scenes, independent circuit, China overseas. My reggae right now is 130 over zero.
My reggae right now is 130 over zero.
I was saying that.
What do you think he means?
All day record.
My record.
It has to be record. But my reggae right now is 130 over zero. And that, as soon as I read that, I was like, I think we're being trolled, or this is the ghost of Wesley Willis. My reggae right now is 130 over zero. And then what's the end of it is I would love to get a chance to anybody that's us into this wrestling. I want to check my wrestling career up another notch. I want to come and shine with you. So, and apparently this dude's in New York because he has a New York based number.
Yeah.
So I kind of want, like, you should call him.
I
want
to call him.
Call him on air and be like, hey.
Yeah,
is
I
this,
want your reggae.
Is this. Can you tell me more about your reggae?
Can you tell me more about your reggae being 130 over zero?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What do you mean you mean record? I was talking about reggae music.
Amazing.
We're a reggae station here in New York.
Megan, are we a reggae? The Batman.
Yeah.
Reggae. Megan W., is Trish 100% confirmed to face Charlotte at SummerSlam? I think that's like probably one of their big matches, right?
I do think that's one of their big ones. I would like to see that. And Charlotte's been MIA, right?
She wrestled Ember Moon.
But limited. She's been, I mean, as far as limited. Why is Aleister Black underused? I think they need to figure out what they're doing with him.
I think he had a good showing against that like beating Cesaro
twice. Yeah, the last pay-per-view was good.
What's y'all reggae's 130 over zero?
Mine is not 130 over zero. Well, I got to step up my reggae's 95 over six.
Step up those reggae's, bro.
I got to step up my reggae. Anything else before we wrap it up here on a ridiculous episode of Mat Men?
Great episode. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
This was a lot of fun. Guys, go to our website, gfknetwork.com. Hey, also, hey, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button here on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, obviously you're subscribed. But if you're not subscribed to the podcast, go on your favorite podcast app. It could be Apple Podcasts. It could be Google, it could be Spotify, it could be Pocket Cast, whatever you get your podcasts on, go and subscribe to us there. It is a very important thing that you do because it helps us out. It ups us in the rankings and more people find us and discover us. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/MatMenPodcast. Go there and fund us as much as you want, as little as you want. You can fund us as little as $1 per week or $1 per month, I should say. And it keeps us going here. We continue to do the shows. We have a lot of shows coming up in the next couple of weeks because SummerSlam, maybe we should do a Mat Men After Dark for SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
We should definitely do a Mat Men After Dark. So we're going to have SummerSlam to do. We're going to have AEW coverage to do. We're going to have all the other shows to do. I got a couple interviews coming up. So it's a very busy time. So please go check it out. And also send us your reggae number.
What is your reggae?
Twitter. If you're on Twitter, go to Mat Men Podcast and let us know what your reggae number is.
Please,
is it 130 over zero? Is it 95 over five? We need to know what your reggae number is.
Just please tweet at us, just saying like my reggae is, and then
just give us the number.
Just give us like an arbitrary number.
Yeah, I'm gonna put this in an Excel spreadsheet with your name, and we're gonna go over it next week as to whose reggae numbers are what. So we'll do that, guys. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian, and you can follow Rich at BTC Rich, and we'll see you all next time.
Yeah.
Take care.